Matthew chapter number 5. And before I was preaching this morning, I know it wasn't too lively and was rather quiet, but I had, for what I was preaching, I had pretty good liberty to preach. I felt, you know, fairly decent spirit. I didn't feel really any rebellion, and I didn't really feel that, but and I'm glad that would complicate matters, but I appreciate you encouraging my heart. Amen. I believe it was Brother Bob. I believe he was sharing with me at lunch today that if I'd have preached like that in some churches, they'd run me out of the country. You know, if I'd have been, I'm talking about even if I'd have been their pastor, that would have been probably my final service. Amen. But it's not easy. It's not easy. It's not popular. I don't enjoy preaching along those lines, but it takes it from time to time, especially if God says do it. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter number 5 in verse number 13. We'll read 13 through 16. The Bible said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world." That's what Jesus said now. He was talking to His people, His disciples. You're the light of the world. That's what He said. Ye are the light of the world. The only light in the world is you. Could I paraphrase that? He's telling them, the only light in the world is you. And if you don't let your light shine, then darkness is going to prevail. And you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. It giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light, not make it. I've got in parentheses wrote right above that in my Bible, not make. It did not say make your light shine. Well, it's up to me. I've got to go to work today and shine. It's up to me. I've got to go to school today and shine. It's up to me. I've got to go to the neighborhood and shine. No, I don't make it. I just let it. And when you let something, means you get out of the way. Amen. If you're making it, then your hands is on it. You're doing it. But if you're letting it, you're allowing it, you're permitting it, you're getting out of the way. You're saying, okay, do it. That's what we need. We need people that will recognize that if they're saved, they have the light in them, Christ in them, the light of the world is in them. Amen. And we just need to say, let this little light shine. Same statement said, similar statement in Genesis 1, there in chapter number 1. Let there be light. Indicating that it's there. It's already shining. Just let it break out. And praise God, a universe that was filled with darkness all of a sudden now has a light. Amen. Why? God said, let there be light. Here it says, let your light so shine before men. If it's not shining, it's your fault. If your light is not shining, it's because you've not given it permission. It's because you haven't opened the shades of the windows of your life. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hold your place right there. I will read one other verse in Philippians, and we'll look at this. Hopefully we get to it tonight. We'll try to anyway. Philippians, let me read these verses here in chapter 2. Philippians chapter number 2. The Bible says, it's hard to, let me just break in on verse number 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Chapter 2, verse 15. Among whom, here it is, ye shine as lights in the world. Now we're preaching on it's time to shine in 2009. God says in verse 15 that you be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Without rebuke, in the midst of, not after you get to heaven shine, Not after you've let this world shine, but in the midst of. In the midst of a moral section of town. No, it said in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. A Bible description of America right there. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom? Among whom? Ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Now, in the two passages that I read, there are three illustrations of light, or the shining of a believer. There is a candle, there is a city, and then in Philippians 2:15 is that of stars. And I got to thinking about that even this afternoon, even more. I wrote this down. A candle is a personal light. A city on a hill is a local light. And then the stars is a universal light. A candle is an individual witness. That's what you can do. A city on a hill is a local witness. And then the stars is a universal witness. God wants us to shine individually. God wants us to shine locally. And God wants us to shine universally. Amen. Amen. And a good way to shine universally, you say, preacher, how can I do that? Shine as a light. Shine as the stars of the heavens. How do I do that? I believe one good way is be a participant in world missions. That's a good way to shine universally. And I thought this as well, when you look at the candle, the city, and the stars. The further you go, the bigger it gets. The candle, and then next is the city. A lot bigger than a candle. And then you move on to the third level is the stars. The further we go, the bigger we ought to get. The bigger our testimony, the bigger our desire, the bigger our influence. And I not only noted, Brother McCarricker, that the further those three examples went, the bigger it got, but I also noticed the further they went, the higher they got. A candle is in the hand. A city is on the hill, but the stars are in the heavens. Thank God. Farther we go, amen, the bigger we ought to get. We ought to grow as a Christian. Our shining ought to grow as a Christian. Amen. But it ought to be not just the higher we go, the bigger we get, but also the higher we get. Our ultimate goal, Brother Clipper, ought to be the heavens. A universal witness. Not be content with a candle influence of just influencing a few around me. Not be content with being a city influence or a local influence of a town or even a county. But thank God, shoot for the stars to where we desire to influence the world. Amen. Well, I thought that was pretty good. Amen. I thought that was pretty good right there. Amen. We'll look at those here a little bit tonight as the Lord would help us to shine in 2009. We were talking about this morning about, you know, how is it that we shine? And we talked about, and we read the scriptures, how that Jesus is the light of the world. And He talked to us there in John chapter number 8, that if we follow Him who is the light of the world, we will not walk in darkness. And the first element, of course, is to receive Christ and to follow Him. That you can't shine if you're not following Christ. Amen? You're fighting against light. You're fighting against the cause of the Christ and the effort and mission of the church if you're not following the Lord. Amen. But then we talked about number two this morning, a separated life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14 through 17. What fellowship hath light with darkness? God says if we're going to, oh boy, I just seen something. Amen. God said, you ought to meditate on the Word. Let that book come alive. There's more there than meets the eye. Amen. You know what? We talk about separation. Separation's not what you do. You don't have to do it. Well, preacher, I've got to quit this. And that's why most people get mad when a preacher preaches on separation. They get to thinking, here's a preacher telling me I'm going to have to quit this and stop that, and I can't go here and can't wear this and can't do that. Hey, you're looking at it wrong. Separation is what the light does. Amen? Praise God. Listen, I could go right over here and turn the lights off. You know what would come in here immediately? Darkness. Darkness would come in here. You say, how would we separate the atmosphere? All we'd have to do to turn the light on. When the light comes back on, guess what? Darkness is gone. Amen. Just live for God. Walk and follow after Christ. Separation will be automatic. Separation is not what you do. It's what the light does. People won't want you around them too much if you're too bright. And I'm not talking about mentally bright. I'm talking about influential bright. Influentially, you're bright. And God is working in you and you're glowing. And God is working in your life. Brother, the Bible don't... Listen, the Bible says they don't want you around. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know what happens? You know what happens when you're right with God and you get around people that's not right? Your very life convicts them. Your very life, my friend, makes them uncomfortable. They can't tell their dirty jokes around you. Amen. Amen. Because they're embarrassed. Amen. Light is what separates. But anyway... If we're going to shine, we need to not only follow the Savior, but live a separated life. And then we noticed this morning as well, have him bring that water. Also, number three, we have to have a spiritual walk. Ephesians chapter number 5. Walk as children of light. Remember us dealing with that this morning? Thanks. Walk as children of light. There in Ephesians chapter 8, verse 8, 11, and 13. Walk as children of light. Number four, we'll just pick up where we was at or where we left off this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Look there if you would please, quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. If we're going to shine, not only have to follow the Savior, live a separated life, and have a spiritual walk, but also there must be an expectancy of the coming of the Lord. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And all of you know this passage of Scripture, I'm sure. It's been preached from, quoted and taught and everything here at the church. But look at 1 Thessalonians 5, and I'll just lift out a few verses out of this chapter. If you'll notice verse number 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Talking about the coming of the Lord. Notice verse 5. You are all the children of light, and the children, here it is, of the day. God is saying it's easy to shine when you're living it like you're leaving. When you're looking for the Lord to come. Help you to shine. Those that are not interested in the Lord coming is the people that are interested in darkness. They're not interested in purity. They're not interested in holiness. They're interested in worldliness and acceptance and tolerance and being passive towards sin. They're not interested in pleasing God. Why? They're not living in the light of departure. Amen. We're children of the day. We're not of the night. Nor of darkness. That's what God says, verse number 5. Look at verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. I like that, don't you? Simply, I believe this text would reveal that if we're going to shine as children of the day, then we must have an expectancy of the coming of the Lord. Amen. God's people ought to be living in such a fashion to where people ought to know that they don't have their roots too deep and the tent stakes are not nailed down too deep. We're headed out of here. Amen. Jesus is coming! What greater motive? What greater motive for God's people to shine than the fact that the light of the world, Jesus Christ, is on His way? Amen. And He commissioned us before He ever left. You're the light of the world. You shine His lights in the world. You do it. You shine. Amen. Boy, like that little song the kids sing sometimes, let this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Amen. Well, we already want kids interested in that. We already let kids know that they can let their little light shine. They can brighten the corner where they are. Amen. Amen. You don't have to be a big light to shine. If it was possible, Brother Ivan, if we'd prearranged it and had it set up, we could have had all these little old bulbs up here, these little old bulbs right here, they're not big as nothing. Just a little Christmas light. This little old bitty thing. Can't even hardly see it. But if just one of them was burning and this room was completely dark, there would be enough light coming off of just one of those little small bulbs to brighten this room up enough to where we could get out of here. You say, preacher, if I was bigger, I'd shine. I doubt it. Let your little light shine. If that's all you got, shine it. Amen. It'll have an effect on darkness. Sure it will. But darkness has to back up and say, wait a minute, there's illumination. There's revelation. There's exposure. We can't invade that. We can't invade that as long as that little bulb's burning. We can't invade that. We must go to work on the power supply, power source. If we can pull the plug and get the power cut off, then the light will go out. That's what the devil wants, God's people to lose their power. Because when we lose the power of God, then we lose our illumination. Amen. Amen. Boy, that's amen. That felt good. Boy, we ought to know that's what the devil's after in our church is to get the power cut off. The devil and all of his demons, my friend, can hoard around and say, I don't like that light. We're going to overcome it. We're going to take it over. We're going to capture it. But they can never do it because darkness must back up when light's on. Darkness must, I'm talking about even one of those little bulbs. Darkness must back up. It might be trying to press in. It might try to press in. But it has to stop when it bumps into a little light. Amen. So the commission is from headquarters, find out where the power is and cut it off. That's what happened to Samson. Tell us where your strength is. Tell us where the strength is. Tell us what's the secret of your power. You're shining as the hero of the nation of Israel. You're shining as the deliverer, the mighty conqueror. Tell us where your strength is. And he told them where his strength was. And they went to work and cut his power off. And his light went out. And the Bible said he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. And he rose up at other times against the Philistines with no power. And guess what? He could not prevail. Let me just let you in on a little secret. You know what the secret of his power was? It wasn't his looks. It was his separation. Because they said it three or four times in that, was it Judges 16? They said, tell us where your strength lieth. And you know, of course, he played games with them, Brother Jacob. He told them, well, if you do this, I'll lose my strength and I'll become weak as any other man. I'll lose my distinction. I won't be the hero and I won't be the agent of God. I'll just be as, here, quote, any other man. Not separated, not distinct, as any other man. Well, you know the story. It come down to where it addressed his Nazarite vow.
where his power was a vow before God. And he revealed that. And they took that from him. And guess what? His power went. Boy, the devil wants the power from the church. Oh, I feel like preaching right there a minute. Oh, yes, the devil don't care if we perform. The devil's not trying to take away our performance. He don't care if we have the best choir in 20 counties. He don't care if we have the best Sunday school teachers. He don't care if we have the best preaching. He don't care what we've got in the area of performance. Amen. As long as we don't have illuminating power, that'll turn the light on when sinners walk in here and sit down on these pews. Amen. There must be an expectancy of the coming of the Lord. Turn, if you will, to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. If we're going to shine, in 2009. Can I say something here? Feel like saying it? We can. You said, preach, it's dark. That don't matter. Darker the night, the brighter the light. Hey, man, we can shine if you want to. Individually, you can shine if you want to, just like the candle. Locally, you can shine if you want to. Universally, you can shine if you want to. Now, I just tell you, dear friend, the further up you go, the larger your influence becomes, the closer you get to the sun. The closer you get to the sun. Amen. You know why the stars are shining, my friend, on a universal level? It's because they're occupying the same space and atmosphere, hallelujah, as the sun. You say, preach, I can't do much. Get in the atmosphere of the sun, the S-O-N. Amen. Get where He's at. Get in the heavenlies. Get away from this world, my friend, and see what happens. Amen. Woo! Amen. A candle, a city, stars. The further you go up, the more heavenly you become. The further you go up, the further away from this world you become. I believe the secret of power, my friend, in our churches and in our life is, my friend, get away from the influence of this world. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1 and verse 1. Or chapter 1. Look at verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Look at the next verse. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, are we not talking about shining? We're not talking about shining. Sure we are. We're talking about us, God's people, being the light of the world. Verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's not vertical. Horizontal. That's vertical. That's fellowship with Him. One with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The context of this chapter, my friend, is that of fellowship. If we're going to shine, Brother Silas, if we're going to shine, Brother Aaron, in this world like God wants us to, and I'm going to tell you, dear friend, how serious this is. We're one generation away from complete spiritual darkness in this country. What I'm preaching today is more serious than any of us feel. More serious than any of us feel or could even imagine. We're one generation away from complete moral crash. This country isn't on a moral route. It's on an immoral route. It's not looking to line up with the Bible. It's looking to do away with it. It's not, it's looking to condemn everything, my friend, that God condones, everything that God, my friend, or vice versa. They're for what God's against, and they're against what God is for. Amen. If you go to court today, my friend, in a situation where it's Christianity versus, my friend, a hate crime, or Christianity versus something, you're about a lost case before you ever get there. Amen. I think what I'm preaching is very relevant. I think what I preach this morning and tonight is very on time. God's people, my friend, needs to be shook. God's people needs to be stirred. God's people needs to be aroused to the fact that darkness is creeping in even around us as we speak. Amen. And darkness is the absence of light. So if we're going to shine, number five, there must be a fellowship with the sovereign. If we're going to shine, we're going to have a fellowship with Jesus. Amen. Noah was a preacher of righteousness in the midst of an ungodly, sinful, sin-filled world. Nobody living for God except Noah, his wife, three sons, and three daughter-in-laws. Everybody else on planet Earth was given over to the control and appetites of sin. But they were a preacher. Noah was a preacher. The Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness. He was a preacher of right living is what the word means. And I just tell you, even though nobody was lining up, even though nobody was repenting, yet still there was a voice, there was a man of God preaching against sin. Where is the man of God today that'll preach against sin? Where are they? Turn your radio on and listen to them all week long. Turn your television on. Listen to some of those all week long. See how many times they preach against anything. Don't preach against nothing. Amen? And I heard a preacher say several years ago, whatever you don't preach against, your church will fill up with. Amen. 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 God help us. Amen. If we'll seek to build a church, God will build the crowd. You don't get that backwards. A lot of people's trying to build a crowd, didn't try to get a church out of it. Amen. Crowds don't constitute the will of God. The world's got the crowds. The world's got the crowds and the multitudes. You can believe that. Amen. We could have the crowds. Just take a little compromise here and a little compromise there. Are you listening? Listening? God help us. Amen. That's right. Amen. We could take our young people on a retreat I ain't going to say where or when, but we could take our young people on a trip and pay some old worldly, compromising, contemporary mop heads to come in and sing to them on the weekend. My friend, I guarantee you, as that is, it's sold out at $100-something a person. Oh yeah, parents just about jerking their hip pocket, their pocket off, getting to their billfold. Yeah, I want little Junior to go and listen to them mop heads sing. Are you listening? Oh yeah. And then that same bunch, my friend, will come up here possibly. I doubt it. But if they were to come up here and hear this morning's message or tonight's message, amen. Or look at our young people that's in the house of God. Look at them go to the choir and they're not dressed ungodly. They're going to say, what is this? I can't believe this. It goes back. It goes back to what's being preached. It's not been popular. But we've went through some battles in 17 years. You newcomers and new visitors and new members, I want you to know, thank God for what we got. But it didn't come easy. It didn't come cheap. Brother, there's times, brother, we just had to put our head to the grindstone. Amen. There was times that we just had to hang on for dear life and pray, God, please help us. If you don't help us, we're not going to make it. And little by little, we'd gain ground for righteousness' sake. And now RBT stands, whether you know it or not, with a reputation for God, not just around here, but elsewhere. To God be the glory. It's not about me, and it's not about us, and it's not about you, nor our name. Now I'll tell you what, brother, God will honor a church that will honor His Word and honor His Son, Jesus Christ. What better way to honor Christ, who is the light of the world, more than us being the light of the world? Well, anyway, there's a fellowship with God that must be if we're going to have light, if we're going to shine His light. Shine in 2009. Could I deal with this quickly? Matthew chapter number 6. I want to try to hurry. I want to get on this other real quickly. Don't know if I'm going to get done or not. Don't look like it. I may preach Wednesday night after all. That wouldn't offend you, would it? Matthew chapter number 6. Let me just hit this hurriedly. I've got to hurry, man. Oh, I've got more room to go and I've got time to get it. Listen to this. Matthew 6 and verse 22 and 23. Let me just read these quickly. The Bible says in Matthew 6, 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? I believe that here we find that whether or not we're shining has to do with what we're looking at and our focus. God said the light of the body is the eye. What you're looking at, whether it's good or evil, it's going to fill your life with either light or darkness. Amen. Pay attention to what you look at. Pay attention to what your focus is. Pay attention to what you're concentrating on. Amen. Because whatever's got your focus, whatever you're listening, whatever you're focusing on, whatever you're looking at, whatever's got your attention, my friend, is going to fill your life with it. You can't just look at sin and it stop at the eyeballs or behind the eyes. It'll fill your body with, if you're looking at evil, it's going to fill your body with darkness. If you're looking at light, righteous things, holy things, spiritual things, it's going to fill your life, your body with light. Amen. God help us. And the devil's after your attention. Devil's after your focus. Devil's after it. He wants you distracted. He don't want you thinking about and focusing on spiritual things. He's wanting you to focus on financial things. He's wanting you to focus on physical things. He wants you to focus on material things. And guess what will happen? When your eye is material, then your whole body will become materialistic. When your eye is financial, then your whole body will be given to that. Well, amen. Another way, number 7, these are not in any particular order, but number 7, a seventh way, if we're going to shine in 2009, we've got to have a relationship with the Word of God. Psalms 119 and verse 105, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, and what? A light unto my path. Psalms 119 and verse 130, the very entrance of Thy Word giveth light. God said, if My Word will get in you, it'll turn the light on. It can't come in without running the darkness out. Amen. Hallelujah, that's right. Glory! I'll shout about it, praise God. It's true. The Word of God is light. And another reference you could write down and look at it later, 2 Peter 1:19. You can read that as far as the Scriptures. Can I give you this last one? I want to give you this quickly. I was wanting to deal with the stars. But I'm not going to get to, don't look like. But anyway, listen to this. Listen to this. Here's another way. I want you to turn to Daniel 12, 13. Here's another way we can shine in 2009. This one brings conviction to my heart. All of them have, really. All of them have, but this one really, really deals with my heart about it. It's in the Bible. I can't preach it because I'm a master. I can't preach because I'm a great illustration of what I'm about to share with you. But I've got to preach it because it's in the Bible. Amen. Chapter 12 of Daniel. I believe I'm right on that. Yes, chapter 12. Look, if you will, in verse number 3. And they that will be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. How are we going to shine in 2009? I believe this verse says, by turning many to righteousness. Amen. Shining is not only the results of turning, but it is the instrument of turning. If we're not shining, we're not turning men to righteousness. A person that is not interested in walking as a child of light, living as a child of light, living as the light of the world, you know, is a person that's not interested. Listen now. Listen, it's not interested in people getting saved. What is this? What does it take for people in darkness to get saved? Somebody say it. Light. People in darkness, the only hope for them is to get light to them. God says right here, they that be wise shall shine as with the brightness. Shine is the brightness of the firmament. And here's, put this word and in there, connecting this. Said they'll not only shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall turn many to righteousness. God said if we can, this is what God's saying, if I can just get my people to shine, there'll be people saved. There'll be people turned unto righteousness. Well, that's hard. That's hard, isn't it? That's tough. A person that's not interested in light, or will get mad at a preacher when he preached on shining in 2009. Hey, you know what? That person's probably not interested in people getting saved. Amen. I tell you what you're doing. Listen, anybody that would be interested in a compromising life, a liberal life, a life, my friend, that is a life of blending, which is always, hey, by the way, that's always been the devil's effort. You remember when David was going to go out to fight Goliath? You know what Saul said to him? David, you've got to have my armor on. Remember that? David, you're just 16 years old. You put my armor on. You know what he was doing, Brother Klepper? He was trying to get David to look like his enemy. He's trying to get David to blend. It's always been the devil's part. It's always been the devil's plan. You remember when Balak wanted God's people cursed through Balaam? You remember that story? You know what he told him to do? He said, go curse God's people. Go up there and curse them. Put a curse on God's people. He would curse. Went up there and he said, I can't curse what God has blessed. He said, I can't do it. God's blessed His people. I can't curse what God has blessed. Amen. But Balak reached into his pocket, pulled out a little green or some gold. He said, hey, Balaam, let me hire you. It's in the Bible. You'll read it sometime. Let me hire you. What can I do? What can we do to contaminate and weaken God's people? I can just see Balaam, a prophet of God, looking around. Pull his pocket open so Balak could stuff it full of gold and treasures. I tell you what you can do. Cause your sons and daughters to go in and mingle and marry their sons and daughters, and God will send judgment.
Can I paraphrase? I tell you how you can whip God's people. Get them to blend in with the enemy. Get them joining in with the enemy. Get them in relationships. Get them in romance with the enemy. Amen. 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 Get them in intermarriage with the enemy. That's right. Hey, that's right. Amen. I don't know if y'all feel it, but I do. Amen. He said, I'll tell you how you can do it. Get them to blend. Get them to mingle. Get them to intermarry. And guess what will happen? God will send judgment. And He did. Amen. And you know what the message coming from most pulpit is? Blend. Fit in. Don't be different. Don't be this holy roller. Blend. If you want to win them, be like them. That'll fill your pews, but that'll never please God. Amen. Amen. Praise, preacher, praise God. I'm telling you, it's this kind of preaching that got me in, Brother Bob. I didn't get saved off of sugar-coated, my friend, watered-down presentation of some hippie Jesus. I got saved, brother, when a man of God got in the pulpit and preached the devil out of me. Amen. That's right, buddy. It's still on target. It's still on time. I'm going to tell you, sheep still loves to hear the voice of the shepherd. Woo! So how do we shine in 2009? Sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel. Can I give you just one last example? I didn't preach all my time away and didn't get the candles or the stars. That's all right. So I've had good liberty tonight. I felt a good touch of God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. I like it. I tell you what it feels like in my soul. God's saying, amen, son. Preach.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't have to have an amen in the pews when I've got it in my soul. Amen, Miss Wanda. When it feels like God on the inside has said, preach it!
Amen.
Amen. Woo! Glory! It's not popular. It wasn't when Stephen preached. It got Stephen killed, but I'll tell you what Jesus did. Jesus stood up, amen, and welcomed that man of God as he ushered into the glory world. Looked like, Brother Frankie, looked like Stephen went out of here in defeat. Looked like that old prophet of God, that old preaching man of God, looked like he went out of here in defeat. Oh no. Jesus stood up. Amen. Let me give you this. Luke chapter 15. If you're wanting to win somebody to God, you've got to have light. You remember in Luke 15, the woman who had lost a piece of silver? The Bible said she lit a candle and then she swept her house. You know what happened when the light got turned on? She saw the dirt. Everything didn't look too bad as long as the light was out. My house dirty, preacher? You've got to be kidding. Things in my life that's not pleasing to God, you've got to be kidding. Come to the house of God and the preacher opens that big two-edged sword called that King James Bible and rears back and begins to preach and all of a sudden God turns the light on and we're like, oh, get the broom, get the broom, get the broom. I didn't realize I was such a mess. I didn't realize, hey man, I didn't realize my life was such a wreck until I got exposed by the light of the preaching of the Word of God. Get the broom. That'll be a good message. I may have to preach on that sometime. Get the broom. She turned the light on. She lit the candle. That dispelled the darkness, exposed the dirt. There's 2 points already. Exposed the dirt. She got the broom. You know what? Oh, boy. Can I preach out here a minute?
Preach, bro.
Amen. She lit that candle. All of a sudden, darkness went away. Light came in. And dirt was seen. You know what most people does when they go to church? Oh, it's good right here. You ready? Ready? When they go to church and through the preaching, Holy Ghost turns the light on and shines it around in your heart and your mind and your attitude. Amen. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, Lord. Amen. Sort of like this morning. Oh, God, help us. I tell you what, I ain't coming back tonight. I'm staying at home. Amen. I tell you what your attitude ought to be. Instead of trying to blow it out, you'll say, Amen. Fan it, preacher. Fan it. Let it get bigger. I tell you what the truth is right there in Luke 15. Anybody that don't like light likes dirt. Amen. You know why you... Hey, come on, boy. It's good right here. I'm seeing it. I don't know if y'all seeing it or not. Anybody want to put the light out, don't want to get the broom. Amen. How many of you have ever went and got the broom and said, boy, I like this. I just enjoy the fire out of this. This is such a wonderful time. I just love sweeping. Can I tell you this? Come on in here, little flock. Listen. Blow it out. The dirt's still there. Doing away with the light will only soothe your conscience. It won't do nothing for your family. And by the way, hey, come here. You know where the dirt was? It was in her house. It wasn't out in the yard. That's natural. In the house, that's not natural. Nobody likes to live in dirt. Are you listening? Turn the light on. See what's there. Get the broom. But here's the whole purpose. You know why the light was needed and the broom was needed? It took that to find that which was lost. If we're wanting to really find that which is lost, which is sinners, if we're really wanting to do that, we're going to have to have the light and we're going to have a cleaning. Amen. I'll tell you where RBT is. RBT's right here. We're going forward. I tell you what's the truth. We're teeter-tottering. Come on now. We're teeter-tottering. We could go either way at any time. We could go any way. We could fall off the wrong side at any time. Amen. Hey, man, I tell you what we need to do is make up our mind. Hey, RBT, are you listening to this preacher tonight? I tell you what we need to do, standing on that narrow wall, we need to make up our mind which side we want to be on. Well, I just said to him on Mount Carmel, how long halt ye between two opinions? You know what he was saying? You're jumping back and forth. You're playing leapfrog, jumping from one lily pad to the other. Tell you what we need to do, young people, moms and dads, from the pulpit all the way through the church, we need to make up our mind which side we want to be on. Amen. Which direction does RBT want to go in? We need to get it settled now. Amen. 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 Which side do we want to go on? What do we want to do? Don't take no effort. Listen. We could be what other churches are by next Sunday. Come on now. I'm not meddling. I'm preaching still. I wasn't planning to preach this long, but it feels good. I believe God's being honored. Amen. We could be what other churches are by next Sunday. It wouldn't even take us 7 days to be what other churches are. All we'd have to do is make a few decisions of what we're no longer going to preach against, what we're no longer going to stand on. We're not going to stand on the King James Bible. We're not going to stand on old hymns of the faith. We're going to let all this bunch of junk come in. And just, I mean, compromise here, compromise there. And I promise you, we could be running as big a crowd as anybody in Rogersville or bigger. But what would we have? What good is it to have a fence full of animals if most of them are goats? Amen. No offense, Brother McCarricker. Amen. Amen. Hey, we can attract the goats. It don't take much to attract goats. They'll eat anything. Except, I tell you what, they don't necessarily like. My daddy used to tell me when they used to have pet goat, he'd eat tin cans, he'd get in the trash, eat the trash, he'd eat briars. Am I right, brother? They'll eat anything. Except grass. That's why Brother McCarricker got them goats, because he don't want to mow. They're not grazers. They're not grazers. Amen. It don't take much to get RBT full of a bunch of goats. Just throw some trash out there. They'll come. It'll attract them. But in case you've noticed, out there on the sign, Brother Bill, it doesn't say RBT Goat Farm. RBT Baptist Temple. This is a Baptist church given, sold out to serving the Lord, honoring Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, I cast my vote tonight. I cast my vote. Let's go in the paths of righteousness. Let's live as children of light. Let's serve the God of heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Let's raise our children for God. Amen, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop right there.